Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Many of our followers turn to us to help them during their trying to conceive journey. And the path to healthy pregnancy is really different for everyone. As medical advances continue to be made, people are starting families now at any age successfully. In the past, women were led to believe that there's a cutoff age for them when they're trying to freeze their eggs. Now that we're learning, it might not be the case. That's why we're really excited today to be joined by Dr. Zerhair Murhi, the founder of Rejuvenating Fertility Center in New York and Connecticut. And we're going to talk about freezing immature eggs and rejuvenating old eggs. So this will be a really, really interesting conversation. So I'm gonna...
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you so much for taking the time. This is just a really, really interesting topic that we have like never covered before. And
right.
It's much, much needed.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure. Let me just fix my things so we can have a good angle.
Awesome.
Great.
Awesome. So before we start, tell us a little bit about your background, you know, how you became a fertility doctor and a fertility expert.
Well, honestly, I mean, when I was, you know, an OBGYN doctor, first of all, when I was in medical school, I, you know, wanted to become a gynonc, gynecology oncology, where, you know, do surgery for ovarian cancer. And I liked surgeries. Then when I did the rotation of gyn-onc when I was in residency, it was a little bit sad to me because you see these patients and then some of them pass away. I'm like, oh, you get attached to them. It was not, you know, I was looking more for happy things, you know. And then I said, you know what? My family went, my sister did IVF and I learned more about that and I see everyone struggling. I'm like, you know what? I love babies and I decided to go to fertility and it's really happy most of the time. Thank God. It's very happy ending. And especially when my patients get pregnant, I get very, very happy and excited.
No, this is awesome. It's it's definitely better. I can kind of echo why I was a dietitian working in the hospital. I had a rotation in children's hospital. And doctor almost get desensitized. They would say, okay, this side is the solid tumor side. This side is the liquid tumor side. Because all the, it's just so sad.
It is. I know. It's just very hard. Honestly, especially if you get attached to those patients, it's really very, very hard. Very, very hard. Yeah. I don't think it's so I love babies.
So you founded a Rejuvenating Fertility Center, and which pride itself being a non-conventional IVF center. So what does that mean? Tell us about it.
So look, I mean, for 45 years, almost 46 years now, when the first IVF baby in the world was born, you know, the IVF protocols have been the same, right? The protocols have been the same. If you go to any place, same. It's time for us to step back. Why the iPhone every year? Why so the same? It's about time that we changed the my opinion, because I also go back to the first IVF baby in the world was natural cycle. Patient took no medication, zero. So why now we keep pumping? So I think we should step back a little bit and say the conventional way is not just the only way, number one. Number two, if you look at IVF success rates in the United States, right? It's almost 50 to 55%. So 45% of women who undergo IVF in the country, they do not get pregnant. So this, and majority of them are conventional. This means conventional IVF, they don't work for them. Maybe. So that's what I meant by the non-conventional IVF. Two, women who have low ovarian reserve, been told, oh, donor egg. I feel like we as fertility specialists, not just, you know, nobody in person in particular, but I think we're giving up very easily without trying things.
Right.
Donor egg, I'm not against it. I love donut egg and I encourage donut egg and everything, but sometimes you need to try new things before you push the donut egg, because other things, how are we going to move forward and do new things and move science forward if we jump right away to donut egg? Well, what I understand, right, a lot of centers do care about their pregnancy rates, right? Which I'm fine with. I really think we need to do something novel in order for us. It's 45% of patients who are not getting pregnant with the conventional way and who don't want chemicals in their body and pump stuff for them, right? So that's why I call myself unconventional. But I do conventional way too.
Love it, love it. We definitely don't want a lot of extra chemicals in our body, as like we actually test for chemicals and then we want people to reduce that. And then we know many times for medication, you cannot avoid many of the, even today, the medication capsule, many of them are still made of phthalates and stuff that if it's a life-threatening, you know, like a life-saving medication, we can't really tell people to stop using it. So we completely agree on the idea of like less is more.
That's right. I agree.
So do you think, like, you know, people don't have a lot of option or don't know? Do you think it's because there's a lot of misinformation in the fertility industry that, you know, limit the families with options and causes them to make, you know, less educated decisions?
Well, look, I think fertility world by itself, there's a lot of things we don't know about it, right? So you look at recurrent pregnancy loss, right? People have miscarriage. 50% of the time, we don't even know what causes it. You test everything, it's negative. So there are things we don't know, right? Because some patients tell me, oh, I did clotting testing and I don't have clotting disorders. Well, there's a lot of clotting disorders that we haven't really discovered yet.
We're happy.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is we have to be open-minded, in my opinion. I see, you know, not just my way or the highway kind of thing, but there's a lot of unknowns in the fertility world. But at the same time, I generally, and I'm not trying to be rude or mean to anybody here, you know, it pisses me off sometimes when fertility specialists say to patients, oh, diet doesn't play a role in your IVF and fertility. But there is over 1,000 papers published in PubMed about how diet and obesity and lack of vitamins and all that affect fertility. What about the NIH? Right. Millions of dollars on effect of diet and fertility. And now why we're not using this information? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I really think we should not just be robots and focus on, okay, this shot, and that, you know, I really think we should step back and see the body as a whole and say, okay, fertility is not just the ovary. It's from what you eat, to your brain, to your stress, to all that. That also plays an important role. People ask me, oh, I read that stress doesn't play an important role in IVF. BS. I have been, of course, their ovaries no produce any follicles or what? On vacation, come back, 10, 20 follicles. I've seen it. So don't tell me stress doesn't, it shuts down the whole system. So look, it's not just one thing. In my opinion, it should be a multi-organ systems in order to target fertility. But look, fertility, infertility by itself have been correlated to heart disease and many other. So it's not just one thing. It's not just an equality or low AMA or there's other things related to it, and we really should be focusing on these things as well. That's why it's an unconventional way.
I love it. It's actually a holistic way and also individualized way. So you actually, you know, looking at the patient as a whole and also personalize their journey for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, the story and the history to me is the most important thing. I spend most of my consultation going back to the history of the patient and how they did, you know, everything from beginning to end. It's very important because you catch a lot of things a lot of time that's being missed if you don't listen to those things. You know what I mean?
We have one of your patients just commented. That's why I love having you as my doctor.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I think anybody would love.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So today we wanted to talk about, you know, egg freezing. So for those who are watching, maybe unaware, what does it mean to freeze an egg?
So, you know, eggs, women are born with number of eggs inside their ovaries, and they release one egg every month, right? And if it meets with a sperm, give a baby. But some women don't want to have children right now, or they just want to freeze their fertility, because as we get older, those eggs, if they stay there, they're getting older as well. So freezing the clock, stopping the clock, is extremely important. And freezing eggs, meaning we take some of the eggs from the ovaries, freeze them, and then you can do whatever you want. At least you've been a little less anxious about the clock ticking after, like, marry someone you don't like, your kids. But that's what thing is. Egg freezing, look, I mean, it's very popular, and I really hope more and more women do that, because I always hear from women that, oh, I was never told by my gynecologist or my this that I can, it's an option. A lot of people don't even know that you can freeze your egg, right? So, but I think we're on the right track. I think there is more awareness. I think more celebrities talk about it, which helps a lot of people, you know, do it, right? It's not taboo.
Right.
People are like, oh, I froze my egg. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely, the whole fertility journey, every part of fertility, fertility issues, egg freezing, sperm freezing, I think we just need to talk more to normalize it, so then people feel comfortable communicating and talking about it.
Absolutely. 1,000,000,000%. 1,000,000,000%.
So what is the egg freezing process like?
Well, it's really simple, at least with us. It's really a two-week process. It starts from period, first day, then you call us. On the second or third day of your period, you come. We'll do blood and ultrasound. Don't feel weird because you have your period. We're used to it. It's internal ultrasound. Then you start on the third day medication. You take medication for day 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Those days, you're going to come to our office for a couple of times to monitor how your eggs are responding to the medication that we're giving you. Mm-hmm. Typically, I give pills and some shots. Injections. Some people don't want injections, fine. At the end of those days of medication, there's a trigger shot that you need to, will patients take.
Mm-hmm.
Days after that, they come to the office, we'll do the egg retrieval, and it's done. It's a two-week process from beginning to end. Egg retrieval can be done. Most places, they put patients to sleep. I don't. 50%, actually more than that, around maybe 70 to 80% of my patients, we do the egg retrieval under local anesthesia, which means we go vaginal, into you, like going to a dentist, right? We anesthetize the vaginal wound, go and get out, and that's it.
Sounds pretty simple.
It is simple. It should not be complicated. Everything should be.
So then if a woman frees her egg, and then when she actually wanted to start a family in the future, she then can use this freezed egg to work with a sperm to have a baby.
Yeah, so let's say, look, I'm very protective of my eggs. Not my eggs, but family. So this is your saving account. It's not your checking account that I want you to spend. These are the youngest eggs you'll ever have for the rest of your life. You meet a guy, you like men, try with sex first. 6 months. Doesn't work, come. We will do IUI or insemination. If it doesn't work, a couple of months, we'll do IVF. If IVF doesn't work, then we go back to use your eggs. But don't jump right away.
It's an extra insurance policy.
Exactly. And they stay there for 25 years more. So don't rush to use them. And even if you become menopausal, if you have frozen eggs, you can still get pregnant using your own eggs. So all you need is a uterus to carry if you have eggs. People were surprised, oh, I have menopause, can I still get pregnant? Oh, yes, if you have your frozen eggs. You know,
I'm talking about,
because there's so many other things to be done, yeah.
That's amazing. So is there a cutoff age for freezing the eggs?
Look, most centers have cutoff freezing eggs. I don't, and let me tell you why. People think I'm crazy, but it's okay. If a 42-year-old, let's say they have cutoff, 38, I don't know. But let's say a 42-year-old couple, they're doing IVF, okay? Not egg freezing, IVF. We go, we do egg retrieval. Let's say I get 10 eggs from my patient. The husband or partner went to produce sperm. He couldn't produce sperm because he was stressed out. It happens all the time. What do we do? You're not going to discard the eggs, right? We freeze them. Then on another day, he produced sperm, bring it, fertilize them, and have babies. So what's the difference between this and someone who doesn't have a partner who froze their eggs? I don't see a problem with him. Why there's a cutoff? This egg freezing is excellent. 95% of eggs usually survive the thawing process. Mm-hmm. And people, is IVF better than egg freezing? It's not better. No, it's not. With egg freezing, you don't know how those eggs are going to interact with the sperm to make embryo. But with embryo freezing, you already know how they interacted together, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only difference. It's just, you know, more of the story. You read the whole chapter instead of chapter two. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the only difference. But look, you know, there is so many things that could be done also with eggs at older age. I don't want to talk about that unless you want me to, but go ahead.
Yes, please. That's actually like a really good question. And I think a lot of people are interested in, you know, like freezing immature eggs and then how to rejuvenating old eggs.
Look, the future of IVF is three-parent baby or nuclear transfer or called mitochondrial replacement therapy. Three parents, well, you're not going to have three people having sex at the same time. That's not what it means. One sperm and two eggs, your egg and donor egg. But you know what? You don't want the donor egg. You just need the mitochondria. You throw out their DNA, you put these mitochondria and you replace the mitochondria, put them in your around your DNA, and then fertilize them with a sperm.
Oh my God. Wow.
Let me explain it in other terms. I like food, so everything for me is a food comparison.
Yeah, me too.
The egg that we eat, right, is similar to the egg of a woman. You have the yolk where the DNA of the patient is. This is the DNA that goes into the children. Then you have the white. Mm-hmm. The white is where the mitochondria. White of the egg is the knife that cuts the yolk into two. It has to cut into two. Why? Because an egg is 46 chromosomes when it's immature. Mm-hmm. But you want to cut it into 23 and 23. Because it's going to meet sperm. That's going to cut off on the testicle to 23, 23. 23 plus 23 give you 46. 46 chromosome is normal people. So mom, 46, father, 46. If you put them together, it becomes more than 46. So that's why they have to split. That's why the eggs and ovaries, the ovaries and the testicles are called the reproductive system, because they cut the DNA. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to the egg. That's still 46 immature, right? Now, as women get older, the white, the knife, becomes not sharp enough. So cutting into 23, 23, it's cutting unequally to 22, 24. Mm-hmm. Now, 24 plus 23 chromosome sperm, it becomes 47. That's from or other.
That's not good.
But now let's say I want to change the white. I take someone's donor's egg. Give me your white. I take the egg from that person. I take the yolk of that donor. No, I don't need it. So now I have the white. And I take my yolk of the patient and put it in the new white. And now I have a new knife. Now mature. Wow. Bam, it cuts equally because now I have a sharp knife. So you do something called in vitro maturation to mature this egg, and then you add the sperm to the egg to make healthy baby. That's the future, okay? I don't care what people say. It's going to be the future. It's done in UK. It's done in a lot of countries for other reasons, which is mitochondrial disease. hasn't been up in the United States, hasn't been approved. I don't know why we're a little bit behind here, but that's the future. That's
wow.
Don't freeze your eggs right now, because look, nobody told a lot of people didn't have patients to freeze eggs 20 years ago, and now the patients are best and the doctor regrets it. I don't want people to be mad at me and say, why didn't you tell me my immature eggs can give me baby in the future if nuclear transfer becomes popular? Because it's going to become like regular IVF, and people who didn't freeze immature eggs or their eggs at any age, even if you're, they're going to, in my opinion, say, I wish I did so. That's my opinion. So I'm trying to predict the future here. And I think we need to have a vision into the future of IVF, not just think about what today is good for my statistics.
Absolutely.
But did you like
absolutely.
The egg and the knife?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's very easy to understand and it makes a lot of sense. And I just love the technology exists, that it's really giving people like women and family a lot of options.
We did the first three-parent baby in the world.
That's true.
So it can work. It's going to be the future. We just need the FDA to approve it or do it somewhere else, because honestly, how long we're going to wait?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So then, like, why do so many clinics believe there's a cutoff at age then for women to freeze their egg?
Because of
the success rate?
I that's the only reason. I don't see a reason why. I don't see other reasons why. Look, there are a lot of centers. Well, again, I respect all my colleagues. They're all my colleagues, and there's nothing wrong with that. Number one, a lot of universities, they just have cutoff. You can't bypass a university. There's a lot of big practices. They have a policy, right? From the old mentality or old bosses or generation, they can't bypass it. There's a lot of people, they also care about their pregnancy rates, right? Which is fine. They've used marketing. It's okay, right? I don't care. About my statistics, I care about helping people make babies.
That's definitely more important. So are there any like extra health risk or reasons for concern that a woman should, you know, consider when freezing immature eggs?
I don't see a reason why you should have any contraindications or risks. As far as the egg freezing process, you could do it naturally. You could do it with pills. You could do it with pills and shots. Three, four, even if you're like, let's say I have patients, oh, we have BMI weight cutoff. We could do it under local anesthesia. If you're overweight or heavy, you still can go to the dentist to pull a test, right? So why can't you have an egg retrieval? Nothing's gonna happen. I don't have to put you to sleep. I can do it under local anesthesia. That's why I don't have BMI cutoff either, because I can do it on. Look, you know, we didn't have to. I would never do something that's dangerous to patients. Do no harm. This is the first thing they teach us in med school, right? Mm-hmm. We'd never do that. Everything is in counseling, right? Mm-hmm. And positive and negative. If I'm 60 years old and I want to do a rhinoplasty, right? There is a chance I can die under anesthesia. Is it worth it?
True.
Worth it, right? It could be a stupid thing, but me, I say, I think I might do something, but go ahead. So, you know what? So to me, it's, and even if a baby, look, let's say a 5% chance of having a baby, right? So if every 100 women, 5 will have babies, I will take that if I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I will definitely take that. It's a baby. It's not a car. Yeah. Or a baby. You can change your whole life. So look, as long as the patients understand in counseling properly, I am okay doing things with no harm. And I like to do new things. And we're doing a lot of new things coming up soon. So keep an eye.
That's amazing. You're going to have to come back and tell us more about all the new cool stuff that you're doing. It's literally my first time hearing about MRT, the metacardial replacement therapy. And this is just, it kind of just blew my mind. It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
So then I mean, so many your patients join and then they all said miss seeing you. And then I think one person asked, are you going to have a clinic in Montreal, Canada?
Anshul, honestly, I'm not thinking about there yet. We have a new location coming up. We haven't revealed it yet, but it's not going to be Canada, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Maybe one day, but it's too cold there too. I lived in Vermont, so it was so cold. I love Canada. I love Canadian people. Maybe one day, maybe not one day, but it's not in the near future. But look, coming from Canada to here is very close. Half an hour, you can fly and come here. We're happy to help you. You can drive. We have an office in Connecticut. You know, it's closer. And you know, we love Canadian people and French-speaking people.
Nice. Wait, do you also have a remote sessions to consult patients all over the world?
Oh, absolutely. Look, 40% of our patients are from outside the New York area. We do something called OM or outside monitoring, meaning you can be anywhere. I have people in Hong Kong now doing IVF with us. I have patients in India. What you do, you just need to find a place that does blood and ultrasound for you. It doesn't have to be fertility. It could be your OBGYN, it could be your primary care doctor, it could be a hospital, it could be LabQuest, the radiology center. That's all you need. I will run your protocol. Where you are, I will send you the prescription. You go to this place. They do blood and ultrasound. On the prescription, they have our fax number. They send it to us the same day. I review it. I tell you what to do. So that place is making it easier for you to monitor, to do blood and ultrasound in order. Then you just come when the day of the egg retrieval or the day of the PRP or the day of the procedure itself. This is making it very easy, very for a lot of people all over the world to have the non-conventional fertility treatments that we offer. Because now we have 10 IVF, 10 types of IVF. 10. We're up.
Wow.
We have a new website, but we're updating couple categories. We have 10 of them, yeah.
Wow, amazing. So you mentioned that you always check, you know, patients' history, the entire history. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, what does the session with you look like?
It's a lot of fun.
That's great.
It's true. Look, you have, first of all, I have patients sometimes starting like this. I am like, what is that? Can we please smile? This is how we start. Because basically, you have to, first of all, the fertility, half of it is psychology and stress. Mm-hmm. You just be anxious like this and expect to make a baby. It's not going to work. You need to be happy, need to be positive. Look, I'm not underestimating any woman's stress. It's very stressful not to be able to get pregnant or to have a miscarriage. It sucks, okay? So, you know, again, I'm very sympathetic with women, but also we need to be positive. We need to believe. If you don't believe that your doctor can get you pregnant, go somewhere else. And I'm talking about my, don't think I can get you pregnant, go somewhere else. You need to match with the doctor. It's fit, it's a matching process. It is like match.com, but professional match. It's true. I need it because you have to connect with the patients. Doctor and men patients should connect to understand the mentality of the patient. It's very important. What it is. I have patients, they don't want to put zero chemicals in their body. It's okay. You have to respect that. There is a lot of people who wants to only do one embryo at a time because their religion does not allow them to freeze embryos or extra embryos. You have to do that. All kind of people, you have to understand that. But if I look at your results, why don't I even talk to you? Send me your results and I'll give you a protocol and do it in my practice. Doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. So one, stress and anxiety. That's the first consultation. We have to break the ice. We have to understand. I always like patients to tell me one, how they found us. Two, where they live. Three, tell me about you. I want to hear you first. So I like patients to talk. Sometimes the woman starts, sometimes the man, sometimes the... Then I ask questions and I interrupt. It's like a 45-minute session during which I go into details about everything. The miscarriage. Did you test the embryo? Test the embryo, the tissue? Did you do DNC? How did you do it? Did anyone look into your uterus? You need to fill the blank in the story because everyone has a story, okay? There's no two people with the same story. I can tell you this. So No, I don't have in Vermont, unfortunately. I have a house in Vermont in Williston. I love Vermont. I used to be a professor at University of Vermont for 2 years, but then I came back. I
That's
love,
a beautiful campus.
but I love Vermont. I love Vermont. When I retire, I'm going to be in the summer there and in the winter in the Bahamas, smoking my cigars. But so not two people have the same story, right? So that's very important. And also, look, a lot of time I talk to the story, it turns out to be the sperm issue, and no one knows about it. They look at the sperm, oh, sperm is good, this does me. No, it's not you, my friend. So sperm DNA fragmentation is underestimated, right? A lot of men have good semen analysis, but DNA is fragmented. They don't use, or they end up in a mis they cause miscarriages. And it's never recommended, let me tell you, recommended by the ASRM, which is the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. Someone did not make embryos more than twice. You need to assess the sperm for this DNA. That's why we use a kit called Zymot, Zymot. Without testing, I'm like, let's just use it. Why do you want to waste time? And my, you use a couple hundred dollars. You put the sperm, the sperm with the lowest DNA fragmentation, make it, then use that for ICSI or for inject the egg. This way, you're bypassing. And let me tell you, we've seen a lot of differences in embryo formation, at least in my lab, once we started using the Zymo. A lot of embryos are much better outcome. Let me put it this way. So, in my opinion, and it's always the man's fault anyway.
Like that. I wish men can carry babies one day.
I am a woman. I'm a very on my woman's side. I'm sorry. I'm very supportive of the women. So, man's fault always.
Awesome. So how can a couple of women start working with you and your team?
Well, it's easy. I mean, the first step would be if you decided you want to work with us, you go to Rejuvenating Fertility Center. You can a website and then book. Now you enter your information. Then my team will call you with the information that you filled. You can go to our Instagram. We have two accounts, Rejuvenating Fertility Center or Dr. underscore Merhi, Merhi. You can send us a DM too, but it's better to jump to the website, honestly, and then fill your information there. That's the fastest way. And then my team will call you within 48 hours to book an appointment.
Wonderful. I think many people ask about the clinic location. I think all your clinic locations are on your website. So really encourage everyone to check out the website to figure out, where you can go and then fill out the form sent to initiate this process.
Yeah, so look, I mean, I'm happy to help any woman, honestly, who of course wants my help. We, you know, with the remote, with the you know, Zoom and all the remote stuff, I think it's making it a lot of people very accessible to them, right? And again, you don't have to come physically to me to see me. We can have a consultation, and then, you know, I can give you a recommend. You don't have to do fertility with me. You can do for you can stay with your doctor. It's fine, but I'm happy to give also my two cents if you like regarding what I think. And we do things very non-conventionally. Doesn't mean it's to me it's better for the than the conventional way that works only for 55% of people.
Wonderful. I know we're a little bit over, but there are still a few que other few questions. Do you still have a few minutes?
I
Let's
like you
do that.
so much.
Okay. Okay.
Always
Awesome.
schedule because I'm talking to my people and I forget. Oh my God, the next patient is waiting. Oh, let me run. Sorry, but go ahead. Yeah, I'm happy to take any questions you
Okay.
want.
So, I think one person asked, what about ectopic, maybe an ectopic pregnancy? Any suggestion which route to go after having one tube removed?
Well, look, ectopic pregnancy meaning a pregnancy outside the uterus. The pregnancy could be in the tube, could be in the ovary, could be in the belly, could be anywhere. This could happen to anybody, right? It's unfortunate. Sometimes the treatment is to either shot or take out the tube. If someone has the tubes open, this means they only have one tube. They can still get pregnant on their own naturally, but you need to make sure that you're ovulating on the side where the tube is open. It doesn't mean you need to jump to IVF, right? So you can do IUI, you can do just make sure, you know, you monitor your ovulation with an ultrasound to make sure that you're ovulating on that side. Because if you're ovulating on the other side, the chances are much, much, much
lower. Makes sense. Another audience asks, where can I learn more about PRP?
So if you go on our website, Rejuvenating Fertility Center, there's under our services a place that says ovarian rejuvenation. I talked there about it, but also you can Google PRP ovarian rejuvenation and you can find a lot of basic. Now, very important to know, and I always tell people like, oh, I want to do this and that. You know, but everybody does the PRP differently. Okay. So it's like a secret sauce of the place, right? And the way you do, the way you prepare the PRP and the way where you inject them in the ovaries plays an important role. You need to know where to put the PRP because a lot of people say, oh, I did PRP, it didn't work. Well, how is it done? If you go and put PRP in one place in the middle where there's no eggs in the middle of the ovary, you come out, it's not going to work. The eggs are not certain. Put them. It's not easy to put them, especially when the ovary is small or quiet. One. Two, you need to know what protocol to do after the PRP. And I tell you, don't assume it's not going to work because if you're going to do PRP, you have low number of eggs, and then you're going to go pump yourself with drugs and shots and manicure. And then... No offense to anybody, but you know how to handle ovary PRP. And that's very, very important. So who does have done? Right? And what's the after that is extremely important.
I think someone also trying to ask what downtime and maybe what downside is there with PRP?
Well, I tell patients PRP, the way I do it, it starts to kick in after 2 weeks. Okay. And it's good for 3 months. So if you do it with us, I'll always tell patients take advantage of these 3 months. You kind of maximize the outcome from the day. You waste your time and money, right? You want to take advantage of the money. So take advantage of these things.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Murthy. I think so we have to have you back. Tell us about all the news, all the progress. We'll be keep following.
My pleasure. It's always an honor to talk to you, to help and, you know, spread the word about everything new.
Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you for joining us. Be sure to follow Dr. Murthy at Dr._Murthy, spelled M-E-R-H-I. And then we'll have the website and then everything in the LinkedIn bio promoting this post. So you know where to find Dr. Murthy.
Perfect. Before
thank you so much.
Retire soon. I'm going to retire.
No, please never retire. We need more doctors like you.
All right. Have a great
day. Bye. You too. Bye.